Honor you today. We want to worship you. We want to praise you. We want to glorify you. God, you are so, so incredibly good to us. We honor you. We worship you. We praise you. We give you all the glory, God. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. His presence is here to heal you physically, emotionally, financially, in every way. He is our breakthrough. Come on. He is our breakthrough, right? He is our breakthrough. It's so good. And He's so faithful to us. Glory to God. If you'll turn in your Bibles to the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua. Okay. Come on up. You got to say it on the mic so the people at home can hear.
All right. Hello.
Hello. Hello. There we are. Woo!
I was out walking the dog the other day, and I'm just cruising down, and I'm not thinking of anything. And we live in Manchester, and they start playing these Christmas songs and stuff. And I walk up to this fella, and I said, asked him how he was doing. He's like, good. I do a walk 3 times a week, you know, and he was an older gentleman, and I just start talking to him, and I mentioned Jesus to him. He's like, yeah, the people that I live with pray at dinner time, is what he said. And I was like, that's interesting. And then we had a conversation a little more about his life, and he shared how he'd driven all over Seattle on his bicycle when he was younger, and how he just was full of life in that way. And he wasn't depressed, but he was just like, and then, you know, here I am in this place now. And I said, well, do you know Jesus? Is he in your heart? And he says to me, I don't know. And I said, would you like, we could fix that right now. We can change that. And he just looked at me, and he just looked at me and went, you know, Jesus came to me after my mom and dad died. When I was a young man.
Wow.
He said, that's peculiar. And that's when I asked him, I said, is Jesus in your heart? And the Lord said to me, Jesus, Lord, let me know that his parents were with Jesus. And I expressed that to him.
Wow.
And immediately afterwards, he's just like, and I asked him, I just boldly said, do you want to be with your parents when you pass or go? And he's like, yeah, I would like that. So we got to say, and, you know, lead him to the Lord.
Amen.
And Jesus just took over, and it was just a divine moment. And then shortly after that, music started playing and stuff, but it was actually the people, they were celebrating the Christmas celebration in Manchester.
Awesome.
Just around the corner, there actually was playing of music and everything, a celebration.
Isn't that
it
awesome?
It was amazing.
Hallelujah.
Be bold.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
You have to be bold.
Come on.
Be you.
Be
you.
Amen. Yeah, come on.
I know everybody here, but sometimes I get embarrassed.
Okay. Can you hear me? Yes,
yep.
You can. Okay. So this is just like an amazing time of year. I know it sounds really weird, but so I live in Manchester, which is true. My grandparents grew up in Manchester on my dad's side. They have an old weeping willow tree in their yard. They no longer are living. They are in heaven at this time. But the weeping willow tree was still there. So this old gentleman has bought the house, and he loves the weeping willow tree. We talked about it being dead. It needed to be cut down. He did not want to cut this tree down. It fell over, and the roots and everything just completely fell over. And, you know, weeping willow trees have a lot of roots, and they're really deep. So the funny thing about this is I could look at this in the spiritual, going, okay, God, what does this mean? You know, this is like our family roots. And so we have had different sisters that we have not seen in like 45 years. And during this COVID, my sister has gone on Facebook, and she has actually found our missing sisters from 45 years ago.
Wow.
I'm going to cry.
It's okay. We'll cry with you.
Thank you. So
it just reminds me that no matter how our roots have been broken, God is there to restore. No matter what it looks like, no matter what caused it. And that's how God was on Christmas.
Amen.
You know,
He loved us so much. He just wanted to restore us and graft us back in.
Amen.
To His family.
And so I think that, I'm crying, I know it sounds goofy, but I think that that's what Christmas is all about.
Amen.
It's grafting us, no matter how far we wandered, from the roots of our firm foundation, that Jesus grounds us all into Him, grafts us into Him, and only the love of God can do that. And that God loved us so much that He sent His Son, His Word, to become flesh and live among us and to experience all the pain that we experience. And it's just a beautiful thing.
Amen.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know, a few weeks ago we talked about how to live in the wilderness. Then we talked about how to enter into the promise. And this morning, I just want to talk to you about what happens after we've received the promise, right? Because it's really important what we do after we receive the promise. It's like many of us received Jesus as our Lord, but what happened afterwards and what have we done about it? Or we may have received Him 40 years ago, but are we still walking in Him and with Him? And how do we maintain that? How do we go about that? And we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. So to set this up, this is the end of Joshua's life. He's already, you know, he was with Moses when Moses was up on the, you know, up on a mountain. Joshua was as close as he could get. He was always his right-hand man. He was Moses, right? Wherever Moses went, that's where Joshua went. But Joshua became the leader. Joshua became the man who had God's plan, and he actually took the people into the promised land. Joshua was the one, when all of the other spies, he and Caleb went, no, you don't understand. There are giants in the land, but our God is bigger than the giants. Come on. So he by faith, had experienced the promise before the promise. So in the story, he's got everybody, you know, every tribe of Israel had a section of land in Israel. So he said, you go here, you go here, you go here, you go here. And he made sure that everybody received or were in their promise. And he's about to die. He's about to pass on. And he's got a word for them. And many of you are familiar with this word, but let's apply it to ourselves today, because it's like, okay, Lord, how do I maintain or continue or walk or stand in this promise? So Joshua 24, and look at verse 13. Joshua speaking, I've given you a land for which you did not labor, cities which you did not build, and you dwell in them. You eat the vineyards and of the olive groves which you did not plant. How many know that when you got saved, you didn't earn any of it? Right? You weren't a part of any of it. That Jesus did it all. He did it all for us. So it's like we've entered into something that we have no business being in. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I have a relationship with God today because Jesus did it. Right? That's so good. It's so good. Now watch this. Now, therefore, fear the Lord. Now, therefore, fear the Lord. Now, therefore, fear the Lord. There's coming the fear of the Lord back to the church. Oh, glory to God. What do I mean? I mean the reverential respect for who He is, what He is, how powerful He is, and what He can do. Therefore, today, this morning, fear the Lord. Give him the place and honor and respect that he's due. You know, I had a dad that I loved, and my dad loved me, man. I mean, it was, if you had a definition of a good dad, I would put Jack Dugan right there. He was good. And I can remember many times when I was a kid, he'd come home every night, and he worked in a very labor-intensive job where he got dirty. And he'd come home and he'd wash himself at the sink. So he'd grab the wash rag and do that. I can remember as a kid, you know, not taller than the sink, looking up at him. That's my dad. That's my dad. So I loved him and I knew that I was loved, but I had a healthy respect for him. Amen. Right? And what I mean by that is, I don't know if any of you will recognize this sound. That's the belt coming out of the loops. We didn't really feel the belt that much, but there was enough respect for the man who wielded the belt that we honored his position. Are you with me? In order to go on, even what I'm talking about, when we've entered the promises of God and we're thrilled and we rejoice and we shout yes and hallelujah and all of that, but do we still honor the man, or in this position, Almighty God, for who He is? I enjoy His fellowship, but boy, I better be fearful of who He is. In an honoring way, in a respectful way, and you don't mess with him. You don't mess, you don't go into his presence in a way that's not respectful, right? Again, I grew up in a large family. Most of you know, I'm the third oldest of 12 children. And we were Catholic, yes. But I can remember going to Mass. Now, again, in my growing up, there weren't always 12, right? Because I was the third oldest, then came the fourth, the fifth, and the sixth. What happened was my parents had me, and they wanted to duplicate me, and they just kept trying, but they... anyway, not true. But watch this. But we'd come and we'd sit in this row, this pew, in this big Catholic cathedral. And it was a beautiful church. In fact, I went there about a year and a half ago. I went for a lady's a funeral service there. And just it's a magnificent structure. And, you know, the big high ceilings with columns on the sides and stained glass windows and an altar with, you know, just beautiful, magnificent. But you went in and you sat in the row as a child. And one of the things that you did in reverential awe of God is that you went down the aisle like they believed that the presence of God, because was residing in the altar, and say, this is the pew, you'd go and you'd go like this. Before you went into the pew. Yeah, that was at the beginning. That's when you get in the holy water. You go like this. But watch this. Watch. Why? Because you were bowing before the presence of God. I've come into the presence of God. Right? And the children, like I can remember as a child, you didn't mess around. I mean, you didn't mess around. All I'd have to get is the look from mom or dad. Why? Because there was a fear, a reverence for who God was. You were in his house, right? So now listen to Joshua's going, now therefore, because God has done everything for you, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity. Whoa. This is powerful for us, right? we've entered into the promise of God, and many of us have been filled with the promise of His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. We have God living on us, in us. But are we still fearing the Lord? You know what the Bible says about fear of the Lord? It's the beginning of wisdom. You want to be wise? You have to put God in His place first. Because why is that? Why is the fear of the Lord the beginning of wisdom? Because God's way of doing things is right. And if you have wisdom outside of God's wisdom, it really amounts to foolishness. Thank you for your enthusiasm. But I want to be wise. I want God's perspective of things. So serve Him in truth and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river in Egypt. Serve the Lord. We'll get into this a little bit more, but I'm wondering if in the church, speaking of us, speaking of me, if we haven't picked up some of the gods that were in Egypt before we crossed over into the promise. And we'll explore that a little bit more as we go on. It'll become clear. Verse 15. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. You know what he's saying? Don't be hypocritical about it. God has promised you. God has put these things. You know what God has said. You know what God has done. You've experienced His goodness. You've experienced His promise. You've experienced what God, and He's told you what to do. But you choose for yourself. What does that mean? I can't choose for you. You can't choose for me. I believe, now I believe with all of my heart that this year, 2021, coming up, is going to be a year of the return. What do I mean by that? There are many people who are out there that are coming back into the church. And I'm not saying about this church only, but some of your sons and some of your daughters and some of those that are outside are going to return. There are some things that are going to be returned to you, some things that you've lost that are going to be returned to you. It's coming back. 2021, I believe, is a year of return. Glory to God. I got that this morning when I was praying. So now watch this. Let's go again. And it seems evil to you to serve the Lord. Choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We might be surrounded by you who choose to serve differently. We might be surrounded by the gods of the Amorites. We might be surrounded by people with different opinions. But this morning, right now, we have to choose whom you'll serve. I love what God has done and who God is and how He's made us. But part of me says, God, couldn't you have just, when I got saved, taken this choice thing away from me? Right? So that I could live perfectly before you, that I would never make mistakes, that I could just be, you know. But no. He gave Adam a choice, and He gives us a choice. But you choose. You choose. I love what somebody said, and I think this is good. You choose whether to sin or not. But you don't choose the consequences. Right, right. I mean, you're going to reap what you sow at some point. You might seem like you got away with it. You might seem like you're doing good. But there's coming a day. Right? Come on. Glory to God. Glory to God. I think of these folks that have lied and cheated on their taxes for years and years and denied things, and all of a sudden they get this knock on the door. You owe us $10 million. Oh, you don't have it? You're going to jail. Right? They seem like they got away with it. And sometimes it was ignorant, but they were serving some other god, and they came back and they had to pay the price for it. Glory to God. I want life to be well. I want life to be good. And I've got to understand that the only way to live my life in a way that is truly going to be good for me is to fear the Lord and serve Him with sincerity. Are you with me? But I've got to come to the place where I say, it's my choice. It's my choice right now, today. Here's the line. I choose to serve the Lord. And you know what? When you choose to serve the Lord, it's going to cost you some things. Oh, I don't like that part. Yes, you really do, but you just don't know it. Because God's ways are the best ways. So if I'm going to choose Him, then I have to deny me. Thank you for your enthusiasm. If I'm really going to choose Him, if really I'm fearing the Lord, then I've got to say no to some things that I want. Because if God says to pray, I don't want to pray, but I'm going to pray. Why? Because I fear Him. I'm going to choose Him. Go with me to Deuteronomy. Well, Adam, stop there. I'm getting ahead of myself. Go to verse 19. Look at this. And he's talking about, you know, those who choose not to serve Him. But Joshua said to the people, "You cannot serve the Lord, for He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sin. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then He will turn and do you harm and consume you after He has done good." In other words, and it's really not the Lord. This is, if you get into the Hebrew translation, but it's really God is obligated to allow you to suffer the consequences of your actions based on the laws that He set up. Right? And it's true in every area of our lives. So what do we have to do? We have to, first of all, determine that I'm going to do something different, and then I'm going to walk in the ways that He wants me to walk. Now go to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Glory to God. Again, this choice thing. But here's the cool thing. When you figure out that you have the power to choose, things change for you. When you fully understand that if I choose to do something different, I can get a different result, then you're not bound by somebody else's choices. Gary Smalley, DNA of a Relationship, years ago called it, there was a chapter called The Power of One. And The Power of One was all about your choices. And the fact is, nobody can make you anything but you choose to be. Amen. In other words, nobody can make me angry unless I choose to react in anger. Nobody can make me mad, or nobody can make me happy, or nobody can make me sad. Nobody can make me depressed unless I give over my power of choice and let their choices dictate my choices. Glory to God. I'll never forget the day. I was meditating on this, trying to put this into practice, and I am real mercy guy, and I want to fix it, right? If Renita's having a problem, I want to fix it. So this is after church. Something had happened. I don't know what it was. That's not important. But Renita was not in the best of moods. Let me just say it that way. And so we're at the building on Wildwood, and we're down in the basement. We walk down the stairs, and I could see in her walk and her attitude that things were not good. And so I started to go, well, I can do this, I can do that, I can do this, I can do that. And I started to feel my spirit sink. And I stopped just like this. She's still walking. I'm stopped. I went, I choose to be happy. I choose joy. I choose not to let what she's going through affect the joy that's in me, because I have the power of choice. That's powerful. But it's also very, 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 very hard, because I can no longer use excuses. If I have the power to choose and live my life a certain way, then I can't blame you for it. I can't say my life is this way because of what happened to me back when I was 5 years old. I'm not denying what happened, and I'm not saying that there might not need to be some healing, but if God has forgiven me, if God has healed me, if God has set me free, then why am I choosing to remain a victim when He's made me a victor? Thank you, thank you, thank you. I mean, why? This is powerful. Powerful. Because I can begin to take responsibility for my own actions and then watch God do something miraculous in my destiny. Glory to God. Look at verse 19. Well, actually, I'm going to go to verse 15. See, I've set before you today life and good, death and evil. In that I commanded you this day to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, to keep His commandments and His statutes and His judgments, that you may live and multiply. The Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. So this is the promise that Joshua is referring back to, that I'm going to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, you can go to the other gods, you can do what you want, but I'm going to serve the Lord. And why? Why? Because I want to be blessed. Everybody say blessed. Come on. Verse 17. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear, and you are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over to the Jordan and go in to possess. I call heaven and earth as a witness today against you. I have set before you death, or life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. Come on. You choose, you choose, you choose, you choose. I get to choose. I get to choose. Every day I get to choose. God, am I going to do what you said to do? Or am I going to do things my way? Right? Frank Sinatra didn't get it right when he sang, whether I'm right or whether I'm wrong. Right? There's somewhere in this world that I gotta belong. I gotta be me. Right? No. No, I'm not going to do it my way, because really, the reality of who I am is in Christ. And it's in Him that I live, move, and have my being. My destiny, my purpose was birthed in Him before I ever was in my mother's womb. He said, before the foundation of the world, I knew you. But in order for me to line up with that, I've got to choose His ways. Has that changed any? Oh, but after all, we're in grace, right? God loves us. God doesn't care. God's, you know. We have a lot of people who are walking in God, they think, But it's like this. I can worship God today this way. And then I can go sleep with whoever I want. Because after all, God understands. Right? I can go like this on Sunday morning, and then I can gossip on Monday morning, and God's okay with it. Right? I can, God understands my issues. God doesn't want you to have those issues. He set you free from those issues. But you've got to choose to walk in His ways. You got to make a decision. You got to put a line of demarcation. God, if this is what you said, even if it costs me my friends, even if it costs me the things that I enjoy, I'm choosing you. Now watch this. I don't believe that you'll ever make that decision and it will really cost you anything, because God will multiply His blessings back to you. This story fits with me, but a friend of mine, a different pastor that I know, he lived in Florida, and you know, he's pastoring a church, doing great, but he had this God that was in a bag, and it was the driver, the three wood, the three iron, his golf, right? And he'd do his church thing, but then he'd be out golfing 3, 4, 5 times a week. And you know, just God doesn't mind golf, he thought. And yet he was putting golf before his family, putting golf before his God, his church, putting God before everything. And it became an idol to him. So God said, arrested him and said, who are you going to serve? Are you going to serve me or are you going to serve the golf clubs? So he pitched the golf clubs. It was hard for him because he liked golf. I like golf. But if God told me to pitch the golf clubs, I would. But watch this. So for years, he never touched golf again. Never played golf again. But finally, after years of his heart being conditioned and changed, God brought golf back into his life. But it was on God's term and not his term. God's not about taking from you. God's about giving to you. He wants to bless you, but he cannot bless you unless you're coming into terms with who he is. You're fearing him. You're putting him in reverence rather than using the excuses. Hello? Glory to God. Go with me, and this is going to be a little bit of a different one, but go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Glory to God. Why am I saying this today? Because I am sick of God beating up on God's Satan beating up on God's children and then blaming God for it. Let me say that again. I am sick of Satan using people's will and choices and leading them in a direction, and when the consequences come, them blaming God for what's happening. When we come back to the place and say, oh God, I see it now. I see, Lord, where I rejected you and what you were saying to me and did my own thing, and now it's come back to roost in my life. Help me, Lord. And our motivation really shouldn't even be, God, I want blessing, I want blessing, I want blessing. Here's what our motivation is. I want to please you. 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 I remember growing up, and again, my dad, the one thing that I wanted more than anything in my life was for my dad to be proud of me. I wanted his approval. My dad was one of those generation, the greatest generation, you know, that went through World War II, and he didn't go into the war because he had some deferments, but of that generation, and men weren't really affectionate in those days, right? I mean, there was a whole different mindset there, right? But here's what my dad would do, and I'll just give you these stories, a couple of stories, because I have the mic, I can do it. Right. One of the stories is this, that my dad would always tell one of us how proud he was of another one of us, but he wouldn't tell us that he was proud of us. You know what I'm saying? In other words, if I was around my dad, he'd be talking about my older brother or my, you know, younger brother, and they did this and they did that and they did, and amazing, right? But he never said anything to me. Silly story. When, again, my dad, especially in his family, very Irish, and growing up, now Irish Catholic, that means they liked their whiskey, right? So they would party, and then the songs would begin to play. So all of the songs would come back out. So I'm sitting at school thinking about my dad, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to send him something. It's really corny at the time, I think, but I got a cassette tape out. Some of you may not know what that is, but a cassette tape out, and I had a cassette player, and I pushed record, and I sang Danny Boy, and sent it to him, right? Well, I listened to it afterwards, and, ooh, well, I don't like hearing my voice when I sing anyway, but anyway, But anyway, so I sent it to him, and I thought, oh, after I sent it, oh, what did I do? Oh, my God, what did I do? A few years later, I think my dad had passed away, and my sister-in-law, she came up to me, yeah, that tape you sent of you singing Dad, we had to listen to that thing over and over and over and over and over again. Yeah, but my dad was proud of me. The reason that I am who I am is because of my father. And my reaction to my father out of reverential fear has guarded my life. And so that's the same thing that we're looking at for ourselves, where our Heavenly Father comes. Look at Matthew 7 and verse 13. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's talking to those that will listen. He said, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there be many who go by it. But narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it. So there's many who don't, few who do. What is the key to finding it or not finding it? It's your choice. Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. But as for me and my house, no matter what the cost is, we're going to serve the Lord. Are you with me? Now watch this. Go with me. We're going to close in a little bit. Romans chapter 6. The book of Romans in the 6th chapter. You have more power to make the right choices than you realize. Well, you don't understand. I'm just the way I am. And, you know, this happened and that happened. And I'm an angry person. Or can I, out of the most heartfelt, empathetic place in my heart, tell you two words? Shut up. Quit telling yourself that. Quit telling you that you can't be who God told you you could be. Quit telling yourself that you've got to be this or you've got to be that or you can't do this or you can't do that. You've got to get into a position where you're listening to what He said and start saying what He said and start making demands on your own self, choosing to do what He says. Glory to God. Yes, amen, 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 amen. Because I'm going to tell you and show you that He's already given you the power to be able to do it. Woo! Glory to God. Romans chapter 6. So much. We could go through the whole thing. We probably should. But let's start in verse 7. How many know that when you were born again, you were buried in His death? In other words, when He died, you died. When you received Jesus, you died. To what? To sin, to yourself, to everything that's outside of Him. Now look at verse 7. Says, "For he who has died has been freed from sin." When you got saved, when you gave your heart to Jesus, it's the very thing that produced the ability for you not to have to walk in sin. Now some say, yeah, but everybody sins. Okay, if you want to. But you don't have to. Because Jesus has paid the price for you to be free from. We're going to see that fully in a minute. Glory to God. Verse 8 says, "Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him." Glory to God. "Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death that He died to sin once and for all, but that life He lives, He lives to God." Now watch verse 11. "Likewise you." Come on. "Likewise you also." Talking about me. Talking about you. Who are you going to serve? Who are you going to choose? I'm talking about living in the promise of a relationship with God. Look at what he says. This is so good. "Likewise you also reckon yourself dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lusts." Man, what am I saying? Why are we allowing anger to remain in us when God's love has been shed abroad in our heart? Why are we allowing the effects of sin, either our sin or as other people or generational curses, all of that? Why are we allowing that when He's already given us dominion over it? You know what dominion means? It means it must obey me. I dominate it because Christ dominates me. "Therefore," who? Me. "Do not let sin reign in your mortal body." So what does that mean? Quit making excuses for your sin. Quit denying your place in your sin. What do you mean? Are you lying? Are you cussing? What are you doing that you know in your heart you're not supposed to do? Quit making excuses for yourself. I love you, but I can't get you free from it as long as you choose to live in it. Because you're ignorant of the fact that you've already been redeemed from it. Glory to God. I don't have to be the way I was because I'm not the same. I have the Spirit of God living on the inside of me. I walk in divine health in Jesus' name. I have the mind of Christ. He lives and He moves in me. Glory to God. If I'm in Christ, do you think Christ has a drinking problem? Right? Maybe Jesus has a cussing problem. Maybe Jesus has to lie a little bit. Maybe He's got a lust problem. Absolutely not. And I am in Him and He's in me. Listen, I've got to talk to myself. That's why I've got to tell myself, shut up. That's who you used to be, but that's not who you are now. Come on, the blood of Jesus is flowing in your veins. You have the power of God. I refuse to let sin dominate me. But I've got to speak to it. I've got to kill it. I've got to let it know that I am no longer in its charge because I'm under the power of the Holy Spirit who died. You know, Jesus died for me that I could live. Verse 11 again. Likewise, you reckon yourselves dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lust. And do not present your members or instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness. Now watch this. This is very important. Your choosing God over choosing the flesh operates this way. It's not you trying to quit doing something that will get the job done. It's by you doing something that will have it stop. And what I mean by this, rather than trying to quit something, I'm going to change my focus so that my focus is on Him. I'm going to concentrate more on Him, begin to worship Him, get more in the Word, begin to have worship music coming on, have many different things happening in my life that are going to feed my spirit rather than continuing to feed my flesh. And my spirit will grow to the place where my flesh has no more control over me. Again, going to Bible school and, you know, in going to Bible school, it's quite an experience because, you know, I worked full-time, but I went to school full-time. But you get up, and for 3 to 4 hours, you'd be in the Word. And then you'd have to go home and study the Word. And then you're in church 3 or 4 or 5 times a week. Sometimes seminars, you know, 5 days a week, every night, you know. But just saturated in the things of God. Do you know, I didn't even think about sinning in that period of time. It was the least thing on my mind. Why? Because I was so into the things of God that sin had no place in my thinking. So what am I saying? If you want to get sin out of your life, change your focus and choose to go after God with all of your heart. And if you're going after God with all of your heart, there's no room for that other stuff in it. The answer for you getting free is not for you to depend on you to do it. But it's depending on the Holy Spirit who's already set you free to dominate your life. Amen. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. Verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves to obey, that's one slave and of whom you obey, whether it's sin leading to death or obedience unto righteousness? In other words, it ought to make us mad that we've been duped into following after the things in our flesh that lead us to sin. Come on. Wait a minute, anger. I know where you're coming from. I've been redeemed from that. Wait a minute. Wait a minute, lust. I'm speaking to you right now. I thank you that the life that I have in Christ Jesus has freed me from the law of sin and death. I thank you, God, that the greater one lives in me. I thank you, Lord. I'm just going to worship you and honor you. Watch, I don't care. I don't care what it is. If you're doing it and you see, I just can't quit it. Don't say that, but just while you're doing it, think about God. Begin to meditate on the things that God has. Get some scripture. Say, Holy Spirit, I need some help with this. Give me some scriptures to meditate on, and I'm going to pursue you rather than this. Y'all getting something that's more I'm talking about. I'm in. I'm all in. I'm choosing to serve God. I'm going to stay in this, but the way that I'm going to maintain it and stay in it is because God is with me. Okay, I got to quit. Go to verse 17. But God be thanked, through though you were slaves to sins, yet you obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine to which you were delivered, and have been set free from sin, you become slaves to righteousness. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Listen to this. Verse 22. But now, having been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, you have the fruit, your fruit to holiness, and the end to everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Glory to God. 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 So what I want from you today, what do I want from me today? What do I want as an outcry of what I've spoken to you? I want all of us to think about who we're choosing. Who are we choosing? Am I choosing me? Am I choosing other gods? Or am I choosing Jesus? And if you're here today, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, that's the first step. But even to get to the place where you come to know Jesus as Zach led that man to Christ, that's such an awesome testimony, you have to recognize that you have a need of Him. And the only way you can know that is know that in your heart you're not right with God because of sin, because of what sin has done. When you recognize that, you say, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. But then you have to choose to make Him the Lord of your life. And we want Jesus to be Lord of our lives. How do we do that? It's very simple, yet it's very profound. The Bible says, if you believe in your heart, and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, then you'll be raised from the dead. Come on. That God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. So this morning, what do you have to do? God, I recognize I have need of You. So I ask You, Lord, to be my Savior, because I need to be saved. I need to be redeemed. I want You, God, more than I want myself. And I just ask You, Father, to become the Lord of my life. And I choose this day, from this day forward, to serve You as my Lord and my Savior. If you've done that, it's the first step to a great journey. But get into the Word. Find a place to fellowship, and God will be with you. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for every person that's here. I thank You every person that's listening. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. May everything I do, everything that I own, everything that I am, give You glory. But I also reach my heart out to You, Lord. And if I've let other gods in, If I've displeased You, if I've not walked in the fear of You, I ask You to forgive me. I ask you, God, to speak to my heart really clearly. Show me my heart. Because, God, I do not want to sin against you. Lord, I love you. I honor you. I present everybody before you. I trust you with them, God. We give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.